restoring the heart and returning to that place of first love. Because inside of that tin man, there once was a real man that had known love and had come to capture many good things that happened in life. But without the heart, once he became mechanical and just efficient as a woodsman, he lost that desire and that passion for the greater things in life. So I think Frank Baum, that's who wrote The Wizard of Oz, he had the idea that the Wicked Witch, and I want to put him in as the enemy, Satan, has the idea downright that if he can just steal our hearts and wax cold the things that are supposed to be birthed within us, he'll do a real good job at making us incapable of doing things the right way. So, a few things I just want to point out in all of this is, the first thing we need to realize is when you're talking about the heart, and we often preach about the heart, and it's talked about more in Scripture than any other subject, more than money, more than faith, more than lust, more than anything, the heart is absolutely central. But because of the very fact we need to speak about it means we've come a long ways from what God originally intended. And the enemy has done a real good job of throwing life at us and beating us down and stealing the things that should make our hearts alive. So this is the reason you'll often hear pastors talk about the heart a lot. If God talks about it more than any other thing, we should be talking about it more than any other thing. Because if we don't understand that the heart is central to who we are and living from the heart instead of just the mind and becoming an efficiency like this tin man, our religion will wane. So I wrote down a few scriptures, and I don't need you to turn to them because I got a whole bunch and I'm going to try to move through them rather quickly. Just listen and see what the Lord says about the heart. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at, but man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Luke 12:34 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You're getting it. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Psalms 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Matthew 15:8 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." And Proverbs 21:2 says, "All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart." The Bible tells us the heart can be many things. The heart can be troubled. The heart can be pierced. The heart can be broken. The heart can be grieved. The heart can be wounded. It can be cheerful. It can be glad. It can be rejoicing. It can be joyous. The heart truly is. It's an amazing thing if you live in that place. But we're told that the heart can be divided as well. Or the heart can be whole. It can be either hot or cold. The Bible can be proud, or the heart can be humble or contrite. You see the contrast there. Christ says, "I can deal," and the Lord listens to the broken and the contrite heart. So there's always a choice to make. The heart can be wandering. The heart can be stubborn. The heart can be frightened, faint, cowardly. It describes it as being melted like wax. The heart can be forgetful, hardened, wicked, perverse. All these things can be looked up in your concordance, and that's what I did. But it tells us something about the heart. The heart's more than just a raw emotion or just where we... It's not just this thing that beats. It's something that's deep within, and it thinks, and it has an ability to do amazing things. But often we end up relegating ourselves to doing it with just our minds. And that's what I think the tin man slipped into, but as he had time to ponder it and realize that it was from the heart that he should have been living, he missed out on quite a bit. So we can cry out to God and say, "Why did you give us this thing? It's the center of our being, and why is it so fickle? Why does it want to do one thing one day and another the next? And why is it so hard to control and so hard to tame?" And he gives you some clues. And again, I'm going to read you a few scriptures about how to recapture our hearts and reclaim our hearts and to make our hearts right. Proverbs 21:2 says, All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. Luke 8:15 says, but the seed on good soil, in the parable of the seeds and the soils, stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Now, we can look at the heart in many situations, and in everything we do in life, you can either do it with your mind, or you can do it with your heart. So let's just look at a few of them real quick. How many of us, when you first started off coming out of high school or college, you pursued a passion to work at? And you went out there and you said, I'm trying to discover who I am, what I want to be, what I desire to be. And in our hearts, we end up looking for that job. And we get in the job and it's like, at first, it's on fire. And then after you've been at that job for a while, something changes. The passion may leave and we just start performing our tasks day in and day out with an efficiency of the mind and in our flesh. I can do this with my eyes closed. We may still function and produce something, a widget or a gadget or whatever you would produce, but we lose that passion. And when the passion's lost, work can become a burden. Work becomes a little heavier. Work's not something that you wake up in the morning and go, whoo, I get to go to work today. It stops being that. Relationships. If you look at the heart in that, usually a broken relationship is for someone that stops fighting in the heart. They stop fighting for something that really matters. Not the Lord. And we need to fight for that with the Lord and with our loved ones around us, with your heart, not the mind. Emotions. Oftentimes in life, our emotions, which stem, I believe, from the heart, not the mind, because the mind, and we'll talk about this if I get to that point, the mind processes information. It's not tied to emotions. It just is information in, information out. It's sort of indifferent to emotion. But the heart lives in a whole different place. And when we let our thoughts go and when we let our emotions go, this is when we'll either find ourselves joyous and glad and happy, or we'll find ourselves being depressed or discouraged and beaten down. And everything, every one of us has these struggles. I had an example this week. I was going to go visit a man that has been struggling in life. And I went down to visit him because that's what pastors do. You go to encourage. And I sort of did this half-heartedly, half in my mind and half in my heart. I just went because that's what we should do. And by the time we were halfway through this meeting, my heart caught on fire. My heart caught the heart of God because I seen a change in this guy. He's getting his heart right with the Lord. He's getting things resolved in his mind, and you can see the life of God coming back in him. So it went from the mind in my own heart. I'm like, Lord, you brought me here for me, not for this guy, to see that I do things often in my mind and just out of obedience and things. But even if we do them with an obedience here and we're not doing it in the heart, we miss the true essence of what God's intended us to do. So even a pastor who should be doing things with the right heart, we miss it at times. There's things in life like addictions where somewhere along the line in a moment or a week period, we give up. We become careless or we become desperate and we give our hearts away. And all of a sudden the numb and the void comes in to fill something that God wants to fill. And we'll find ourselves losing our hearts and not having full control of them the way we are. But the enemy's real good at understanding the heart is always at the center of the battle. But the beautiful part is God knows that's the heart of the battle too, is our hearts. And he fights for it much better than the enemy does. So our first love in returning our hearts back to that place, or if you're a newer believer, retaining that zeal and that freshness in the heart that God gives you, is something that we need to fight for. And there's certain things we need to understand, and we need to see some of the tricks of the enemy and the things that have been happening for thousands of years since Christ gave his life for us. And the opportunity we have to know him is, how many of you remember when you first come to know the Lord and you dug into the word, and every time you read a new verse, something flamed into being inside of you? When you sat down and pray, he spoke to you because you did it with that zeal and the fervor. I want to change, Lord. I want to do everything you would tell me. And then when you were in a hard time, you would find yourself knowing you needed to fast. and you would stop and you would cry out to the Lord, there's something missing, I'm struggling, and you would do these things. And as you go on, some of these practices can wane because somewhere along the line our hearts go just a hair amiss, and we'll miss a day or two of reading, so we're not hearing in prayer as often. We're finding ourselves walking wayward, and the heart starts becoming cold and callous to the things of the Lord. But we still go about our Christian walk. We're still serving and doing things, but we're doing it from the mind at this point instead of from the heart. What happens is that the joy and the fulfillment that comes from it is stolen again. And it's, how do we recapture this? How do we get back to that place of understanding that it's from our hearts that we need to live? From deep within us, if we get back to the point of understanding, that's where we need to be in doing the right things for the right reasons for Him. And out of that love, a sense of fulfillment and joy and passion returns. So, because when you're living from the mind, you realize we have a form of religion, if you ever remember this verse, but lacking the power. And that's what it is. We're just doing it out of the efficiency of the mind in our own flesh, and it lacks that power from God. So the third point is we need to understand that the heart, though, you'll hear people say, well, the heart's about emotion and the mind's not. No, the heart is the source of where emotions come from. It's where we need to live. It's that place where you need to have deep passion about everything. All these things we talk about in life, they can go wrong. They can go right if you have your heart into it. And if you put your heart in the right place in the right areas, because the mind truly is an amazing thing, as I said earlier. 1 Kings 3:9 says this. If you remember, God asked Solomon one thing he could have. And Solomon asked for a wise and discerning heart. The heart thinks. The heart sees things. The heart sees people at a different level. It's amazing. It's not just the cold calculation of the mind. The heart can see the good in a person. The heart can see the bad in a person. So that deep thing, when you start understanding you need to think and live from deep within, instead of just the mind, you'll find your walk growing in the Lord, and we'll keep our hearts on fire. In the New Testament, we're told numerous times that Jesus knew the thoughts of the people's heart. As he spoke directly to the issues that were always pertaining. And that's what always blows me away when you read anything about Christ. He would speak one or two words or two sentences to a person, but it was right to the heart of the issue. And he always, because God knows the motives of the heart and our deepest thoughts of our hearts. Hebrews 4:12, which talks about the word being sharper than any two-edged sword, it also says it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. He judges and looks deep within. It's not our minds he's going to dissect someday. He knows what goes on in your mind because it says he knows your thoughts. But he looks at what's deep from within and in our hearts. When Mary was told about her baby, she says she pondered these things within her heart. She stored up the good things that the Lord was revealing to her and bringing it about. And she pondered them deep within. It wasn't just a thought process. How could I have a child without having lain with a man? She pondered that they were from the Lord and knew about them, and her faith grew. Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When we start understanding, it's not what I think about myself. It's who I am is what makes me. And when God understands, when God looks at that heart and he says, you're good and you're my child and you're more than a conqueror, believe that from within here, and guess what you'll become? More than a conqueror. All those good things that God promises us. It's critical to believe because here's the big part of this whole sermon. Because until we hold our convictions in our hearts, we're truly not believers. It says even the demons knew Christ. They knew him and shuddered. But it's not until we catch it in here that we get it. It's not until we acknowledge Christ in our hearts and in our lives that we truly come to the place of salvation. And that, when that comes to flame and comes to life, it's absolutely huge. The next point is to understand that reason and emotion are two different things. Reason, like I said, it comes from the mind, and it's a processor of information, and it's the mind that works. And those that come to know people that work from the mind, you know, they shed few tears. They They look at everything. We think of them, people that live from the heart, we think of that type of person as cold and calculating. Now, the cold and calculating, the ones who live from the mind, they look at those who are full of emotion and said, you're just whacked out. Everything is this high and low. It's because the two live in two different realms. The mind is this processor of information. The heart is where we feel things deeply. It's like if you're a thrill seeker. If you're a thrill seeker, you're in a plane. The mind says it's not a good idea to jump out of a plane. But the heart says, ooh, I love that rush. I just want to jump out there. Now, you get a person that's fearful in the heart. You can put them up there and say everything will work fine. You'll be good in a few moments. You'll float to earth on a parachute. And in their heart, they're thinking, this just ain't good to drop from a very nice plane. I'm not going to do it. And there ain't no way you're going to get them to jump out of the plane. Because they have a deep, heartfelt conviction that gravity works. Because the heart truly lives in magnificent realities. It loves and it hates. Anybody ever experienced those two emotions? It soars and then it plummets. Life is felt here. In the mind, you look at things and you say, oh, my marriage isn't going good. I understand I got to do this, this, and this. But if the heart's not about putting that back together and fighting for it, you're not going to. We need to get back in our relationship with Christ and with other people at moving more to the place of having an equal process. Because it's also not good just to live on raw emotion all the time. How many of us have spewed things that come straight from the heart? And God says, they were better left there. They should not have entered here. They should not have come out. So to have the balance of letting the heart go and speak with the mind, or have a little heart-to-heart with the mind, and having that proper balance, we're going to find ourselves struggling. But the heart is the source of emotion, but the heart is not just emotion. Too many people have made, myself included, have made a mess of life at certain times by letting their emotions and their feelings guide their decisions. Because we're to have knowledge of the Word, we're to have knowledge of the Word here as well. And when you put the two together, you'll make wise decisions. It's the beginning of all wisdom is fear of the Lord and knowing the Word. So you have to live it out with thought process and with a heart that is sold over and is sold out to Christ. So the last point, and I'll get to this real quickly, is we have to look at the motives of the heart. I told you the heart thinks, the heart does all these other things, but we have to get to the point of understanding that God looks straight at the heart. The deep things you hold, not just the things you spew from the top of the mind. That's not what God looks at. He looks at what our hearts really say and what the motives are. And by that, I want to just give some examples of, do you remember flowers on your anniversary because it keeps you out of trouble or because you love your wife? Do you schmooze or flatter your boss about a month before it's evaluation or raise time? Do you have a radar detector in your car to help you keep the speed limit? What is the motives? There's a real good commercial I love, and I think we got that pulled up. This will show you some of the motives of our hearts, and you're going to see a man struggle with the decision here. But see if you can pick out his motive in this. She right here asks him, does my behind look big in this dress? Now, this is Honest Abe. He don't quite know what to say. She's getting a little frustrated. And he says, maybe just a wee bit. What was the motive in Abe Lincoln? He had a dilemma and a struggle there, didn't he? Do I tell the truth because I'm Honest Abe, or it's the right thing to do? Or do I keep Mama happy and tell her what she wants to hear? The motive of the... Kim's raising her hand. Just keep Mama happy. And we got to understand in these moments, and every man realize this, keep Mama happy. That's the correct answer. We got to understand, though, someday we're going to stand before the Almighty, and He's going to judge our motives. There's no faking Him out. Because if you watch that video, and she's been dead a long time so we can talk about her, her behind probably looked a little big in that dress. He could have been honest, and he would have been okay. But there's no faking God out. There's no pulling the wool over his eyes because he looks right at the heart of men. And 1 Corinthians 4, 5 says, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. So it's not just this beating thing. It's who you really are. And at that time, each will receive his praise from God. Matthew 5, 20 says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you certainly will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He looked at them and said, your heart does not have, the Pharisees he was speaking of, is not right. Unless you surpass that, you stop living from the outward thoughts of religion in life and start living it from deep within because you love me, you're missing the whole boat. You see, our conscience is in our hearts. The Holy Spirit lives within our hearts. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of our faith. That's what Pastor was preaching about last weekend. In full assurance of our sustaining faith, having our hearts sprinkled by his blood to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Romans 2:15 says, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. Folks, we have to be able to win our hearts back. We have to be able to live from deep within us. We have to let that sustaining power of the presence which abides in us get us back to that place where we live with the passion for his work in our families, in our jobs, in our relationships, and in our lives. Because if we don't, at the final day of judgment, you read in Revelations 2:5, he talks about if you lose your first love, I will remove your candlestick from its place. Meaning, I will take from the church its ability to be effective in this dark and dying world. We need to grab hold and keep a hold of what we knew when we first got saved. We need to get back to that place of letting him be the one that sustains us and speaks to us because we live from deep within here. Does that make sense? Yes. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to deliver a word from your heart to us, that our hearts are absolutely crucial, that our hearts are the things that you fought for. You sent your son so that our hearts could be made well. You sent your Holy Spirit to counsel us through this life, to fill us up, to keep us invigorated, to sustain us in living it out rightly, Lord, before this world. You tell us not to hide our hearts underneath the bushel, but to let them shine upon the hill, Lord, reflecting your likeness and your glory and your good ways. Lord, I pray that our hearts just get back to that place of being fanned in the flame, that we find ourselves living with the passion and the zeal for your kingdom, that we make a difference, that we not find ourselves just going about with a calculated approach that we can do in our flesh and in our own ways and in our own wills, but Lord, that we align our will with your will, that we find your kingdom coming in our lives, just as we know it will come eternally one day when you come again, Lord, or when we take our last breath. I just pray, Lord, that you sear something deep within us today about our hearts, where we're amiss, where we need to make the adjustments to get back to that place of living the way that you would have intended for us. I thank you for the opportunity to share this word, and we just are looking forward to having a time of communion and spending a day of fellowship and sharing our hearts with one another. Lord, that's another thing we need to do more often, is truly share from deep within us the things that you've done for each one of us, the places you've taken us, and the things you're taking us through. Lord, let us share our hearts openly and honestly with one another and with you. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.